Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games, Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games, Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Recalibration Matrix. I am your host, Jay Larson. And joining me, as always, is your friendly neighborhood,
Greg Webster.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Jay.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I got a couple games in yesterday.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
How are your games?
They're good. I'm trying out Inhumans right now. I've got a couple... I mean, I've had a bunch of She-Hulk games in because I think she's really good. But the Inhumans are the new hotness, so of course I have to play with them.
Of course you do.
I have a rough impression that when you take Inhumans, you want, like, a 5 or 6 character to feed power to. And so I've been trying to see if, like, She-Hulk's a good choice, but I'm thinking someone like MODOK or Hulk might be better. I'm not 100% yet, but that's what I'm thinking.
So what has been new in the life of Greg?
It was 80 degrees today. So in a week, we've gone from like 14 degrees weather to 80 again. That's some Houston weather. Going camping this weekend, you know, just trying to spend my time wisely. How about you, Jay? What have you been up to?
My sleep schedule has been completely jacked up, and that may or may not be related to having finished reading the Dresden Files Peace Talks and Battleground. I can neither confirm nor deny.
So I'm sorry, you finished?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. How would you like ballpark it? Is it thumb up, 2 thumbs up?
Is it
I guess I read this book?
I like them. I mean, it's like, if you're a fan of the Dresden Files, I think you'll be a fan of the books. But it also it helped that, like, I read them back to back instead of, like, reading the first one and then having to wait a while for the next one.
Yeah, I have really negative feelings about how they split that book up.
Yeah.
Especially because it's the two books combined are shorter than, like, a lot of fantasy books I've bought. And so the two books are more than twice the price of some of these other books that are much longer. So, I don't know. I think that was a little bit unfortunate that they did that.
I mean, they were each over 300 pages.
Yeah, but the okay. I've been reading, and but even then, like, the fonts were a little bigger. Like, I think it could have been a 500 page book very easily.
Yeah, maybe. Either way, I did enjoy it. And one of the things that's interesting with it is it's one of the first times where I read the books and I was like, oh, it ends on book 17, right? And I finished it and I was just kind of like, you know, this is going to be a series that goes to 40 books or, you know, whatever, which is kind of rare for a series, obviously, but I think that's what's going to end up happening.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, other than that, been driving around checking out potential camping spots when it's no longer Hoth in Idaho, and Brian and I watched Godzilla, Kong, Skull Island, and then Godzilla, King of Monsters.
Nice. Getting ready for that new one.
Yes.
I'm really excited for that. I really enjoyed Kong and King of Monsters.
Yeah, they were enjoyable. They were, you know, you have to kind of accept them for what they are, but, you know, that's fine.
Yeah, as soon as you're like, okay, to accept the reality of this world, you have to be like, okay, Hollow Earth is real, and, like, that's that's probably like the most unbelievable part of them, I think. I think okay, giant monsters are more believable than Hollow Earth theory. So
there's a lot going on there that you're like, there's a lot going on here.
I also love Pacific Rim, so.
Yeah, we actually rewatched that last night.
Oh man, you guys are on a kick.
We are, yeah. Nice. It's almost like there's nothing to do.
Yeah, almost like you can't go out or something.
Yeah. Okay, well, we are going to be talking about She-Hulk.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. It was, we'll get into this, but it did make me laugh, some of the locations on on this.
Yes.
So we'll get into that.
Yeah. So do you mind if I just dive in?
Go ahead.
Nice. Okay, so we read She-Hulk from 2005, issues 1-4. And if you're getting into it, I will say issue 3 is counted as her 100th individual comic ever. So it was like a really big issue, and it had a lot of flashbacks about her. So when you get into reading it, it's actually longer than just 4 comics because of that. But so this is She-Hulk basically after the events of Avengers Disassembled and House of M. And so this is Jennifer Walters is living with her boyfriend, John Jameson, and her coworker Pugsley. And she is not able to transform by herself. She has like a device that Doc Samson made that kind of charges up and helps her transform. And it kind of talks about the reason why is she has this trauma about a town she destroyed that is kind of a mental block keeping her from transforming easily. Because normally She-Hulk can transform into her normal human form like at will. Or she just like in some of the comics, she just never transforms back into a human because she's perfectly happy being She-Hulk all the time. So the story starts with her like jogging and she sees a mugging and she tries to transform but can't. And then she uses her like martial arts skills she got to defeat the muggers. And then it shows that Captain America and Spider-Woman were watching the whole time. And they were like, yeah, we just wanted to see if you still had it. If you want to join the Avengers again, there's your spots open. And she doesn't really want to. It shows like she goes to work and she's, you know, talking to her new boss about, you know, how things are going to be. And then there's a loud explosion and she gets permission from her boss because her old boss didn't want her to transform. She transforms and goes to fight. And it kind of starts one of the side plots, which is that she has this this rival lawyer who is not really a fan of her. And this lawyer is representing a couple villains who basically get a stature to start fighting them. And so they kind of have a fight with Vision and Stature while She-Hulk like comes in and like breaks it up and beats it's Boomerang and some stupid strong guy. Not Goliath. I can't remember who it is, but it's like he's just a dumb strong guy.
quick side note of just a random thing that like kind of bugged me, mm-hmm. is that, you know, it shows the drawing of them like kind of zoomed out all talking, and then it does a zoom in of those two that you're just talking about, and they like swap places on the table.
Like, oh, really? Oh, Christ.
It was just kind of funny. Like, in one cell, like, you know, the big guy is on the left of the two, and on the other one, he's on the right. And it was just kind of funny.
Oh, that's great. So after the fight, She-Hulk realizes that her firm is representing the villains, which she's kind of upset about. And then it kind of switches to She-Hulk. She's got a new client. And her client is a man who apparently publicly shot someone in the back, and it was on the news, and there's a photo of it, and she's being told to represent this guy. And she's kind of like, hell no, he's like, why would we represent him? This doesn't make any sense. He's clearly guilty. And then he says, I have access to time travel devices and I can prove that that man was going to kill me. So it was self-defense. And so now we have a silly superhero-y legal battle, which is pretty normal for She-Hulk. It's kind of one of the things that she gets, like, the crazy supervillain cases. And so they go to get... One of the things with She-Hulk is that She-Hulk breaks the fourth wall. She will know she's in a comic book. She will look into the reader, and she'll talk sometimes directly to the audience. And also, she will read comic books to do research about the events that happen in the Marvel Universe. And so she's got Stu is her researcher, who basically goes through the comic books and finds evidence and things from the past. And we find out that Stu can't do his job because they're switching to trade paperbacks and it's really hard to get them. And so they're waiting on delivery and it's going to be later than comics. This is a meta commentary on people switching to trade paperbacks for sales instead of the monthly floppy comics. And I love it so much. It's so funny. So I will say, I think I'm out of order, because later Captain Boomerang throws a boomerang and it hits Stu in the chest. But what's protecting Stu is the trade paperback of She-Hulk.
Yes.
Which is hilarious as well. So anyways, they've got to, like, when they get to the trial, there's this Judge Dredd looking guy blocking them, and he's Justice Peace from the Time Variance Authority. And so the Time Variance Authority protects time, and so they make sure that time traveling is done the right way and that people don't, like, screw up the timeline. And they're very silly. And so the Time Variance Authority has time traveled in a jury who won't know that this guy shot this guy in the back and wouldn't have seen the news because everybody's seen it. So they get a time traveled jury, and Jennifer has to sign a contract saying she won't do time shenanigans. And so the problem is that one of the jurors that gets teleported in is Hawkeye, and she knows it's Hawkeye, but the other people don't. And she helps, like, cover up that he's Hawkeye so that they won't disqualify him, because she is planning on, like, telling him what's going to happen to save his life. So she's got a plan to save her friend by breaking the timeline. And so then Hawkeye is being Hawkeye, and so he's, like, flying around and stopping crimes and stuff instead of staying in the hotel room. He's being, you know, he's being Hawkeye. He's being a heroic idiot, and She-Hulk's really upset because she's trying to, like, secretly help him. And so the trial's, like, going forward, I'm trying to remember everything that's going on, but it's basically they're trying to prove that, you know, it's self-defense because this guy knew it was. And so one of the things that happens is that, so they show the video he got where he says, hey, this man is going to try to kill you, so you need to look out and you need to get him first. And so it turns out that the guy who was shot in the back is waking up in the hospital. And at this point, a giant, like, robot attacks the courtroom, and in the chaos, the criminal escapes. The guy who shot the guy in the back escapes, and he runs to his lab. And at that point, She-Hulk is trying to give Hawkeye a letter that tells him what happens. And he's kind of flirting with her instead. And he gets teleported back to his timeline by the TVA before he can grab the letter, because he's being Hawkeye and he's being dumb, and it's great. And so you see then that the old man puts himself in a time scrambler, which scrambles your appearance and your DNA so that you can time travel without being identified. And then he records the message for himself that tells him to kill the person coming to get him. And then he looks in the mirror and realizes, oh, I'm the guy I shot in the back. And then the Time Variance Authority forces him to go back in time, and they put him where he's going to get shot in the back to complete the paradox loop that he's stuck in. And so then it shows them in the hospital with the guy waking up, and they're saying, well, it's attempted suicide instead of attempted murder. So I guess this isn't the same, and we should like let it go. And then someone says, I'm going to charge him with insider trading. And you say, can you charge someone with giving themselves stock advice? And then at that point, the TVA comes and they arrest She-Hulk. And they basically tell her that the punishment for what you did is being erased from history. And they teleport her out of time to their headquarters. And then that's the trial issue. And this is, there's a lot that happens in this issue. And it's really cool if you want to like get a bunch of She-Hulk backstory. But basically it's their trial for She-Hulk is she important enough to not be erased from history? Because, you know, most individuals, you can erase them from history and nothing will really change that much. So all these heroes and, you know, characters from her history come in, all the way from like the really ridiculous stuff in like the 70s and 80s. It's very silly. And the artist keeps changing, which yes. I actually like. I like it in this one because it's Time Variance Authority and it's stupid and it's very silly. And I know we've complained about it before, but it happens. There's one moment where one of the justices takes She-Hulk into the future to see that she causes like one of the greatest wars in history because of something she did in the past, kind of as a like, we need to erase you to stop this horrible war, which to me feels like they want to create a massive paradox by erasing her, because if she starts a massive like intergalactic war, you can't remove her, because isn't that the proof that she's really important to the timeline? But anyways, at this point, a bad guy called Clockwise gets a hold of their gun that they're going to use to execute She-Hulk. And it's the gun that unravels you through time. And he starts, like, shooting people with it. So he shoots some of the justices. And then the TVA people put everyone, all the superheroes at the trial, into, like, time safety bubbles. But then, like, my favorite part is he shoots one of the judges, and it's like, oh no, they shot Mr. Paradox. And the other guy goes, oh no, I'm a clone from him. And he disappears. And it's like, that's the best. It's so silly. But so then She-Hulk kind of gets in front and she says, you can't shoot me because then you'll create a paradox of where you don't come here and you don't get the gun. So you're incapable of shooting me with this gun. And then he's like, wait a minute, huh? And then she kicks him in the face, which is sweet. And so they basically like are talking about like her, the love, people who love She-Hulk, like her love is her impact on other people. And she's talking to Pug, who has a crush on her pretty clearly. And she's like, maybe there's someone who loves me so much that it makes my existence worthwhile. And she goes, so do you know where John is? Because I don't see him here. And he's like, oh, no, he's not here. It's a really, like, aw moment. But so then what they do is they teleport in, like, all the people, like, a lot of people who have been saved by her, like, her joy or her lawyering. And that's what they're like, oh, she needs to be saved. And then the ending is kind of cool. Her punishment is going to be that she has to watch one of their time prisoners. And she chooses someone, but we don't see who. And so the next issue is,
she goes back to Bone, Idaho.
She goes back to Bone, Idaho. That's right. So the root of her trauma, of her destroying Bone, Idaho. And she's incognito. She doesn't want people to know she's She-Hulk. And it seems like the people are kind of mixed on blaming She-Hulk or Hulk. Most people say it's Hulk, and there's like a very small.
Yeah, there was like a propaganda
like
to blame Hulk.
Exactly.
But there's people who are like there and actually witnessed it, and they're like,
no, it was She-Hulk.
No, it was She-Hulk.
And so,
but she also had like the scar, something the Scarlet Witch did to her, where people wouldn't.
The Scarlet Witch put a spell on her that says, "No one who wishes the She-Hulk harm will remember you as Jennifer Walters."
Yes.
So she can hide as Jennifer.
She'll be like, "Hey, you know, I'm guilty. Arrest me," and they won't do it.
They won't do it. Yeah.
That's the type of harm.
Yeah. So she's kind of seeing all this trauma, and she's rebuilding the city physically. You okay?
Yeah. No.
The one thing that I want to read this original issue, because whenever it shows She-Hulk on a rampage, she's wearing like lingerie and she looks greased up. And I'm not sure if there's like, was she getting down with somebody? And I don't know. It's, but anyways, so she ends up transforming at night and like, oh no, wait, that was a nightmare. Sorry. So she's having these nightmares. She's very traumatized. And there's one guy who's been leading everything, and he's like working into the night. And he's very like quiet and
he started this charity that the whole purpose of the charity is to clean up
after the Hulk.
After the Hulks.
Yeah. And so they find a dead body in the rubble. And it's the first dead body, right? So nobody else is dead, so at the very least, She-Hulk didn't have that guilt, but so she knows that she's responsible for this. And she tries to go and like take the fall. She tries to admit her guilt. But because of that Scarlet Witch spell, nobody can see her. Nobody can recognize her when she's trying to do that. So she sees Travis and going down, and she tries to go in, and then someone sees her doing it and cuts her rope and then like tries to bury her alive. And so She-Hulk is basically under there, and who is it? Mr. Swanson saves her. And at this point, she realizes that one of the women is the killer, not herself. And she says, basically, there are these photos that proved that Christie was cheating on her husband, who she killed, the dead body. I'm sorry. So the dead man is her husband, and she was cheating on her husband, and she killed him and tried to blame it on the disaster. So anyway, she then confronts Mr. Swanson because she knew that the woman recognized her, and that means she didn't blame Jennifer for it. But why does Mr. Swanson not blame her? And then he reveals that he was the guy who bet Rick Jones to sneak onto the army base, and that caused Bruce Banner to throw Rick Jones into safety and to become the Hulk. And so all the Gamma people he thinks are his fault. So that's why he formed the Green Cross. So at this point, like, Jennifer transforms into the She-Hulk and apologizes to everybody. And basically tries to get over, you know, she tries to do her best to move past everything and rebuild it. And she's accepting the damage she did and trying to make things better. So at that point, it goes into this like interview where they're talking, and then it's revealed that the person she's responsible for in the present is the Two Gun Kid, who is a like Lone Ranger knockoff that traveled through time and joined the Avengers in the 80s and was, you know, friends with She-Hulk and Hawkeye. So, or wait, no, not with She-Hulk, with Hawkeye. But so this is kind of the beginning of like one of the most popular She-Hulk comic arcs. Probably not the best selling one, but it's got this big backstory. It's got a lot of cool things that show why Jennifer Walters is unique. I liked that it had her dealing with the effects of like she went on a rampage and it kind of like crippled her emotionally. Like she's she knows what she did. She can't handle it. And I like this story a lot. I think it's a really good like look at what makes Jennifer special. And then it also has a lot of the humor that is very unique. There are people who compare She-Hulk to Deadpool, and I like this humor a lot. I like how She-Hulk has these really like, it gives you these like subtle ways to break the fourth wall and to make goofy references. And so, but what did you think, Jay? This was your first She-Hulk comic.
Yes, it was. I enjoyed it. Didn't really know what to expect because I haven't really had much exposure to She-Hulk. Mm-hmm. She's not, you know, she's not really had movies or TV made around her that I can think of.
Yet.
Correct. So yeah, I mean, it was an interesting introduction to her. So I guess a few notes or things that I had questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think of Hawkeye in this arc?
So this Hawkeye being like the dumb Avenger and like the like, I'm going to be a hero no matter what. La da 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 da. I'm going to flirt with everybody. Do do do. I like it. It was funny. It's a little bit like the Matt Fraction Hawkeye we read, but he's like less beat down and tired and less self-aware as well.
Yeah, like there were some parts where like I guess I just wasn't used to this Hawkeye, because like, for example, he goes out for his night of, you know, fighting crime, and the text is yeehaw, be criminals beware, and mothers lock up your daughters, because Hawkeye's back in town. And I guess I didn't really know that daughters were in danger from Hawkeye, but okay, I guess.
Hawkeye's a very attractive male, and he gets around, Jay. He is just, you know what, I'm gonna stop. I was about to say he gets a lot of tail.
Oh my god.
Jay.
He's a himbo.
He had, oh yeah, that's a really good, yeah, he's a himbo. Thank you.
Another one.
He's a fuckboy.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Greg. Okay, so another quote was, she's there like trying to give him the letter of like how not to die or get killed,
like,
right?
Oh, it's a love letter.
It's like, why, Miss She-Hulk? Now, you wouldn't be trying to pass a love letter to little old Brer Hawkeye, would you? It's like,
it reads like the 70s comics we read.
Yeah.
Right? It's just,
it was a little weird.
I really do think they were channeling 70s Hawkeye. Even down to the stupid, like, flying motorcycle thing, where he's like, yeah, woo! And you're just like, oh god, I forgot about that dumb thing. It is in the Avengers arcade game, though, and that's cool.
So, last thing on Hawkeye, the only thing that's hard to believe with the whole plot point, the whole time travel plot point, I know it's hard to believe that those are hard to believe, but what if she was just like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and honor my contract and let Hawkeye stay dead? I mean, that would have been okay, right?
I mean, I feel like that would have been the most rational thing to do, right? Like,
yeah.
No, I honestly, like, that's what she should have done.
Right, yeah.
But
why do you think that, I guess it is kind of interesting to discuss, why did she not do that?
I think,
and what does it say about her character, I guess?
I think part of it is, and it goes into it when she's in her therapy session with Doc Samson, that she has faced so much shit so quickly that she just, everything feels wrong. And like she feels so compromised. And so for her, like, oh, I can save the life of one of my friends who died like needlessly. And then she fails at that. Like, I like it. I thought it was really cool. And I think that's also why, like, in issue 100, when she's about to face the consequences for what she did, she tries to do it again immediately. She, like, runs up, and she's like, oh my god, Jan, you got drunk, and you told Wanda about her kid. Like, you got drunk, and you told Wanda something, and then Wanda killed Hawkeye. Don't get drunk at the pool, Jan! And, like, and they're just like, oh, She-Hulk. Like, she is desperate to, like, fix something. And, like, to feel like things can be normal, and she just failed miserably at that.
So
I also like the, she blames Jan for getting drunk and, like, mentioning Wanda's kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because how do you know that? Unless you've read the comic, and She-Hulk reads all the comics, is, like, a joke with She-Hulk. So, like, okay, if She-Hulk knows shit she shouldn't, you're just like, oh, she read that issue. It's fine. Which is so cool. Like it would, the only way it would be better is if she mentions that I read that issue.
Yeah, I read the issue. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, so next topic of discussion I had for you was her roomie and their dynamic.
Yeah.
So I guess, first of all, to at least kind of how I read the situation is like he's kind of head over heels for her. And kind of wants her to realize that, but she's completely oblivious to it and is living with
her boyfriend and
him in the same apartment.
Yes. So Pug is like, I don't think I've read any comics where like he actually does anything. It's just he always has a crush. And he was going to ask her out. But then, like, then she started dating John Jameson. And I think, like, him having a crush on her and him, like, not being noticed by her is just a running joke.
Uh-huh. Like, there were parts of it where it, like, it kind of made me feel uncomfortable.
I think it's, like, it's...
Or feel bad for him, or, you know, I don't know. But, like, for example, he's made breakfast, and they all eat breakfast together, and she's like, hey, by the way, sorry if we were, you know, so loud when we were going at it last night.
Yeah.
And I'm just, like, dying inside reading this.
But it's still kind of funny, right?
Like, is it?
It's like, haha, his feelings are hurt. No? I thought it was kind of funny. Yeah, I mean, he's a good lawyer. He's like a good friend, but he's never gonna get to date She-Hulk.
Yeah.
So her boyfriend is the son of J. Jonah Jameson, John Jameson. He's
not the one who like who went bad.
He did go bad. He became a man wolf. But
we read a comic where he was bad.
That was Spider-Gwen.
Yeah, it was.
Uh-huh. So it was an alternate universe where he was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
And Man-Wolf is the criminal, and then John Jameson somehow doesn't get consequences for it. Yeah. So he's been like a good guy, but he's basically a magic werewolf. So he's not super popular. And he usually has like really, really ridiculous adventures. But like normally he's an Air Force pilot who became an astronaut, and that's how he became the Man-Wolf, is he got infected with a space god that makes him a wolf.
As one does.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's now a prison guard.
Oh.
For supervillains, it's a fancy prison.
Well, that actually leads to another thing that I was curious what you thought of it. So it kind of bugged me when, you know, they're doing all their like lawyery stuff, right?
Yeah.
And she gets upset that the law firm is defending supervillains.
Yeah. Lawyers shouldn't have those leanings, but I mean they do. Like even in the real world they do.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
I think it's just she's gotten her way for so long that like being told that is upsetting to her. Yeah.
It just seemed, I don't know. It seemed.
No. Yeah. I,
It seems strange to me.
Lawyers should defend anybody and not part of really...
Part of the foundation of our justice system is that every person deserves a competent defense. And so there shouldn't be a stigma to someone who is defending someone who is accused of something. But
yes, but that is clearly kind of a bias, right, in this comic.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which, and like, defending an accused murderer is also something she tries to avoid, right?
Mm.
So, can we talk about the time variance authority?
Let's.
I forgot to mention this earlier. If you pay attention to the trailer for Loki, the time variance authority is where Loki is taken. Mm. It's like, if you see the big offices, and I think, like, Justice Peace, there's like a... There's like a portrait of Justice Peace or something. Like they've identified who Justice Peace is in the Loki TV show. Or maybe it's a statue. Yeah, it might be like a statue of him. But the time variance authority will be like very important in Loki, which is another reason I chose this, because right. There aren't many good instances of when we can read comics about them.
Sure.
It's just really classic dumb Marvel stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I'm curious to see, how they are in the show, and they were kind of an interesting part of the story, obviously.
Yeah. And if you listen to our bonus episode about the announcements, I have some pretty strong theories about how important they're going to be and how relevant they are to Loki. So.
Oh well.
Back us on Patreon and listen to that episode, because I would bet money I am 100% correct on that. Like, this ain't like WandaVision. Like, I know the entire, like, overarching plot of this show, I think. So.
Okay, interesting. Real quick, I do need to, I've kind of teased it, but it's really funny to me that, like, she has this past trauma over Bone, Idaho.
Yeah, what's up with that?
So.
Idaho.
Right? So, Brian and I like to... A lot of times it's, during the winter, we'll do it about, 4 or 5 times a week. We'll do a drive where we go, and there's Idaho Falls is, kind of in the valley, and we're next to the foothills, and there's kind of a loop we can do up through the foothills, and part of it goes right by Bone, Idaho, or close to Bone, Idaho. And Bone, Idaho, it's about 17 miles from where I live. And so it's funny to me, they're talking about like the city of Bone, Idaho, et cetera. And the population of Bone, Idaho is literally 2 people. And there is a, the Bone Store, which is this store that is in the middle of nowhere that went out of business in like 2017 and it got reopened in 2020. And it's kind of like a restaurant. Etc. But it was just funny to me that like it just seems so odd that like of all the places in the world that Marvel would have mentioned, Bone Idaho, this is... place of population 2.
I wonder why. I wonder why Bone know. Because I mean there's obviously more than 2 people in the comic at Bone.
Yeah.
So I wonder why.
It's almost like they like threw a dart at a map or something. I'm not sure if that happened or if there was like someone on the creative team that lived in like Idaho Falls or something, and we're like, let's do it, make it in Bone.
They're like giggling the whole time. That'll confuse the people from Bone, both of them. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they did it because they want a small town to like reduce people being offended.
I'm going to link into our Discord pictures of the inside of the Bone Store.
These ones you've taken?
No, this is from a news article.
Okay.
I'll probably, Brian said we should, when I told him about this, he said that we should take some pictures and post them in the...
Should.
In there. So there is, I've linked in a news article about the Bone Store reopening, and it shows pictures of the inside. So.
Oh, okay. So this looks like basically what like high-end barbecue joints are going for here in Houston.
Right. Yeah.
So I like it. The floors are too clean. Okay. I mean, that's got to be cool, right? Like, I'm half of the population of my town.
Yeah. It is an unincorporated settlement, unsurprisingly, I guess, with a population of two.
Yes.
We're going to hold an election to vote for mayor. It's a tie. Have to be like Nevada and like draw cards to see who becomes mayor.
I love it.
Okay. any comments on the creative team?
I believe it's Dan Slott, who is a like big Marvel guy, done a lot of Spider-Man. He's also probably one of the better Marvel like writers that writes for them all the time. And like I think he wrote the classic She-Hulk stories as well. So he's been around Marvel forever. He's written so many good things. And I think he also does write funny ones, because I think he wrote he wrote like one of the sillier Avenger stories. So you know, he's just been around forever.
Would you say that there was anything that didn't work for you?
So there is one thing that bugs me about Jennifer Walters sometimes and She-Hulk, and it's when they draw She-Hulk and she looks like really soft and feminine. Like, mm-hmm. Jennifer Walters can like look that way, but sometimes I mean She-Hulk is like raging. Like, for me, the Hulks are supposed to be like really muscular, and I feel like they draw She-Hulk to make her look kind of, you know, they want to make her sexy. Right. And for me, I'm like, give her some more muscle. Like, she went from like 5'6" to 7.5 feet tall. Like, that's not, you know, her sexy softness. Like, that's, she needs to be ripped as hell. But that's just like my personal thing with She-Hulk, is it's like she grows into a just sexy big lady. So whenever I see her like lacking definition next to like a male character who's like buff looking, it bugs me.
Okay. Oh, you said that you kind of like the different artists. My biggest issue was like when we got to the fourth one where she goes back to Bone, Idaho, the art style felt like something I would see in an Archie comic, and it didn't really feel as much like kind of the Marvel style of art. Maybe I'm being too critical on it.
In the Bone, Idaho one.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Anyone you want to see join the MCU? Do you want to see She-Hulk get added?
Well, I mean, she is coming.
Oh, I didn't know she was.
Yeah. They cast the actress from Orphan Black to be She-Hulk.
Hmm.
So I would hope that She-Hulk will get, you know, her full like supporting cast with Pugsley and her law firm, and I think it'd be cool to introduce John Jameson, but I don't know if they're able to because of like the way Spider-Man works. But I'm really excited for She-Hulk. Tatiana Maslany, I think, is the actress's name. But if you've ever seen like She-Hulk, or if you've ever seen Orphan Black, I think you'll be like, oh, she's a really good actress. The show isn't like the best, but she plays like 12 different characters, and there are some moments where you don't realize she's the same actress because she's transformative. It's really good. It's a sci-fi show about a bunch of clones, which is why she does that.
Okay.
How about you? Did any other characters stand out that you like? Doc Samson would be cool too, like a therapist who deals with superheroes.
Mm. Yeah, that could be interesting. That could be, actually be a good like Disney Plus show.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, I think that just seeing She-Hulk get successfully implemented would be cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else you want to say on the arc or et cetera?
I kept reading for a while, and I really liked the Two-Gun Kid, actually. So he's kind of a cool, like, man out of time character. And if you want to keep reading, I recommend it. It's really fun. The covers are all a little cheesecakey, which is, like, silly.
They are, yes.
At this point, I feel like it's almost required for She-Hulk to have those covers, just because it's like tradition now.
So I assume this one gets a thumbs up from both of us?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So next week we're going to be talking about Black Bolt.
Yeah.
What comic are we doing, Greg?
So we are going to be reading... Sorry, it's Inhumans from 1998, I think. Shit. Sorry, I have a new tablet for basically just for reading comics. All right. So it's Inhumans from 1998, issues 1-6. It's often so if and this is an interesting one, but it's they also turned it into a like video comic. So Inhumans from 1998, issues 1-6. And so they adapted it into a like a video comic. So if you want to, you can just watch that. It's pretty good. But that'll cover the entire arc and not just the first 6 issues.
Mm. All right. Well, read that and then subscribe to the Patreon if you haven't, and you'll be able to hear us talk about She-Hulk in-game and talk some more about WandaVision.
Yeah. And remember, we adjusted our Patreon, so we have much more competitive pricing. Yay!
Yay.
Competitive.